compliment here.
Test, test.
Nothing, nothing.
All right.
Hello?
Is this working?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, do we...
Do we have to turn it on? No, I guess we don't.
What are these for?
So we can hear ourselves.
But I don't hear ourselves talking.
I can hear.
Yeah.
Can you?
You should be able to hear it in your ear. Yeah.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Strictly Talking Shit podcast, where we literally talk shit. and here today, we're very happy to have Taika with us. We have Mike Miller, we have Cheryl, and Johnny White. Thank you guys for coming all the way down to Strictly Talking Shit.
I'm Chop Liver.
You're what?
Chop Liver.
He's Chop Liver, and we have our co-host, Adam, over here. start off everything today. Our title is The Taika Way, because we really want to learn about what Taika is, what they really are about. Because from what we know, it's all about family, all about camaraderie, a lot of those things. And we want to start off asking some questions with Cheryl. As we know, Cheryl's the CEO of Taika. And if you don't know, she has a lot of experience within this global market. And from what she did before, it was the automotive market, right, Cheryl?
Automotive. Yes, sir.
And from your previous experience in the automotive industry, how does this all come to be where you come into Taika all of a sudden? Like, how has these...
Well, first of all, I'm at Taika because of the guy sitting next to me, Johnny Hazen-White. We've been friends for 25 years now, I think. We've been talking about a dream team conversation for quite some time and finally just pulled the trigger and did it. But automotive, you know, took me probably a year. I might even say it even now. I do not know pumps. But I'm a manufacturing rat, been that way for a long time. And automotive is a very structured, very, very structured, could add probably two or three more varies in there, way of life. You know, they have design, failure mode, evaluation and analysis, and all sorts of other acronyms that are crazy like that. So you were asking me about automotive and what I'm bringing to Taika. I love this industry, I got to tell you. Automotive, I hope there's not automotive people listening, but they are carnivoristic. It's not dog eat dog. It's carnivoristic. They will take each other out. And this industry, we hold each other up. Man, it's like family, friends, people around that care, doesn't matter, competition, what it is, we're all like that. And I love that world and really wanted to work with Johnny because he cares that way about his people. And but there are some structures to learn from all of the wonderful things that automotive taught me. I spent a few years at Mazda with the Japanese learning everything they could teach, and Ford and GM and Mazda. And so there's some great structure, and that's what we're after, structured growth. Remember that phrase, structured growth. It's important.
Structured growth.
Structured growth.
All right. No, I believe structured growth a lot, because from running a business on my own end, a lot of it is based on procedures, a lot of it is based on structured growth from your employees believing in what you do and what your vision is for that company. And I think for what we see in Taika, that's a big thing that we see in Taika, and that's why we support them ourselves, even as contractors.
Yeah,
correct?
That's true, yeah. Looking at your global experience, how do you see the HVAC industry evolving into the international stage? And what role do you envision Taika playing in the future landscape?
Well, we've been around for, is it 103 or 104, Johnny? 104? Holy smokes. And we intend to be here for another 104. So international, the globe is small, believe it or not. It's really, really small.
Yeah.
And we've just taken a step and taken a gentleman by the name of Greg Case to Chief Innovative Officer. And he sits on the board at both Hydronics Institute in Europe and in the North America. And the connection's there. We were talking with some people last night. Whatever you're hearing, whatever their problems are in Canada or U.S., they're the same problems in Europe. But they're way out there in pushing green efficiency, where we're going. And the DOE on this end is constantly moving the radar, you know, and putting the needle and the targets farther out there. So we're striving. If you look at it, you've got a 007, you got a 007E. You got a 0015, you got a 0015E. Yeah, you know, efficiency is where we're headed, and protecting our environment and the future for the kids and those coming behind us is key.
Maybe I can jump in here a little bit.
Yeah.
Because so You know, as I look back at Taco and its trajectory to where it is, you know, to your point a little bit, to answer that, you know, my road to growth was not for the sake of size, but it was for the sake of stability and safety.
Yeah.
Because we're surrounded by really big players,
yeah.
And it's just been important for me to find out and figure out a way to build a base that was strong enough to defend ourselves and to still grow and do good things for the market, because we've become known over the years as a company that's provided for the market what they expect, what they need, what they want at a price they can afford, and a quality that's the best in the world. And so then we embarked on a couple of acquisitions in Europe, and that provided us the platform to take our name, which was very well known and very well respected in Europe, but no platform to work from, to a position of strength in the market. So this growth has now become a global growth and a sustainable one at that, for the purpose of not only market presence, but safety and stability to protect the jobs of the several thousand people that we employ. You know, that's most important to me. That's the most important thing that I care about.
Yeah, your employees.
Yeah.
You care about your employees.
Oh, yeah.
That shows.
Actually, our entire partners. I mean, we care about our supply base. We care about our customers. We care about our employees. We care about our communities. I mean, it's if it's important to him, it's important to all of us. That's just the way we all think it at Taco, right? So,
I really like that, because when I read a lot more about Johnny White, watched a little bit of some of the podcasts that you have a great history of how the business before was not doing well. You took over it from your dad. You wanted to somehow sell the inventory stock that you had and grow Taco the way it was today. And with that path that you had aligned with it, you always wanted to take care of your employees. And that was one of the best parts when I read that, you know, I knew we had to get this guy on the show, because that's what really sparks inspiration for me when I run a business myself, and for Adam as well, when we're running our own divisions.
Did you listen to the podcast?
Some of them.
Okay, so there was something in there that I want to comment on, because and my dad was smart about this, I think, and it took me a long time to understand, but why he backed out of the business when he did, I never understood, but it's truly what a good entrepreneurial guy will do, which is get out of the way when somebody can do it better.
Yeah.
And that's and I'm no entrepreneur, I don't claim that, but what I will say is that I learned from that as a young man, and so as the business created a good trajectory and growth. Look, I went broke a couple times trying to get here, right? It's not an easy path all the time. But that's when it was time for somebody a little more professional to come in and handle this and run the business for me, and that's what Cheryl's doing. It's an amazing
100%. Like, I've read a lot, and there's a lot of things that I see, and I think for everybody out there to know, it's that sometimes being an owner doesn't mean you have to be the CEO.
Right.
And it's not just relevant to Taco or any other company out there. It just means that you have to know what you're good at. It doesn't mean you're not owning the company if you're not running it.
Yeah, when I mentioned this dream team, the partnership, I mean, a lot of CEOs, where do you go to talk to people or you know, if you got a problem or looking for advice, or even to be able to just talk things out. And that's what Johnny and I have. It's really an amazing thing. So you get both of us.
With all these folks, how do you? Well, you're very quiet there, young man. What is your?
His turn.
You know what? If you're gonna wait for your turn, you're never gonna get one.
Well, so,
I learned that as a little boy.
Just jump, Mike.
Just jump, Mike.
What do you think?
Jump, Mike. You can jump in any time, Mike.
Anytime, man.
Well, I can only add on, and it goes even beyond the top level there. I mean, the whole family at Taco, everybody is on the same team, and you know, everybody's genuinely interested and excited to help everybody succeed, right? There's if somebody needs help picking something up, it'll happen. You know, it's like, it's such a good camaraderie, everybody pushing in the same direction, and you know, having each other's back, and I think that allows us to be.
And you know what, me and Terrence were lucky enough, fortunate enough to be able to see that in Germany with you guys last year.
Oh, great.
And be able to see the camaraderie, not even just the Canadian team, but the US team, Italy team, all the teams together, and we were so grateful to be able to see that. And that brings our loyalty even stronger to Taco, because we know that you've got to take care of your team. So if you're going to take care of your team, you're going to take care of your customers as well.
So we call it the Taco way.
Yeah.
And we have Taco Valley. The Taco way.
Yeah.
And Taco values.
Yeah.
So trust, because we believe we got to trust each other, our integrity, our capabilities. I mean, we're all standing on that white line at the football field, right?
Yeah.
And advancement, because we believe in, you know, the development and growth and opportunity. I mean, Johnny and they started it a huge time ago. We have a beautiful training center at Taco, and just expanded that to an online for our new HR team. So advancement is key to us. C stands for community. We take care of our communities. Our people are so involved. I mean, we tried to do an event for the food bank, and because there was a special thing going on, and so we were taking teams in to work, and we got a donation for food. How many ton? I can't even remember how many ton came out of our employees. It was just amazing.
Yeah.
And O is for ownership, because we're all part of owning this whole thing with the company and being accountable. And so everybody knows, if you go out to ask anybody on the floor, take away. It's our awesome. Take away values.
Take away.
Awesome. Well, this one's for John. The take home name is for quality and innovation, is known for quality and innovation in the HVAC industry. Can you share the story behind the name and what it represents for a company culture and values?
Like, I love that question because I've always wanted to ask that. I think we asked it before, but it always slips my mind. But why Taco?
And not Taco.
And not Taco.
Yeah.
And what is the real meaning of this Taco name, and how far back do we have to talk about when we get to Taco?
So.
That's a prelude.
I do have a question. Actually, it occurs to me when we're talking about names and things. So you're known as Talking Shit.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're known as Chopped Liver.
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Well, what is
no,
that
that's
make?
Just
what
today because he ignored it.
What does that? What does that make me? You're talking shit.
Yeah.
You're Chopped Liver.
Yeah.
I'm full of shit.
You're full of shit.
That's what most people would say.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
You have blue eyes, though. I don't see the shit anywhere.
See that?
They're crystal blue. They're beautiful blue eyes.
But you know what? It's really
careful
wild when you get an invitation. Can
Adam,
you come talk shit?
Adam,
I've never had that kind
home,
of invitation. That's an invitation you don't turn down.
I like the curly hair,
come
man.
Talk
it's my thing.
That's scaring me now. But you know, the Taco name goes back to 104 years. And my grandfather was a salesman for a boiler company, National Radiator, in the States. And he wanted to create a line of products to surround the boiler, not just a boiler. And the company said no, so he left. And he bought a little broken-down company that had nothing to do with the industry, but he needed something as a platform to begin. So he created Taco, which was originally called Thermal Appliance Company. And his first product was a indirect water heater. He really was the inventor of what's now the Boilermate, the indirect water heater, for that concept, not that product, but that concept. And then went on to develop the hot and cold water mixing valves, air elimination. That's all a Taco sort of historical, you know, thing. And so Thermal Appliance Company is where Taco came from, and it's carried forward to today. And you know, what I've always said, because you know, I lived in California. My first job was out in California in 1980. I was a salesman for a wholesale company, and we sold Taco products, and people called it Taco.
Yeah.
And so somebody said to me one day, "Doesn't that just absolutely fire your rockets when they call it Taco?" And I said, "No. If they buy it, I don't care what they actually call it."
Tacos are delicious.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, it helps.
Well, we made a whole campaign out of that, by the way, back
did you?
Then. Yeah, we did. We did. The marketing guys at Taco worked with me on that, and we came up with a whole campaign. We used to do these things called counter days every Friday at the wholesale.
Yeah. We still do them sometimes. Yeah, we still have them.
You do them, okay.
We do Taco Tuesdays. Our training team took Taco Tuesdays, man. It's a Taco
or Taco Monday Night Live.
Yeah, Monday Night Live. After Dark. I like that one. You can drink.
Could you hold on? So,
just for 1 second.
But we would have these Friday morning things at every wholesaler. We would go in with our products and we'd lay them out. And we'd bring coffee and donuts and have a you know, little show and tell. And so what we ended up doing was scrapping that, and we went to 5 o'clock and I'm not sure why 5 o'clock. Maybe it was 11 o'clock in the morning. I don't know, but it became beers and tacos. You know, and it was really very effective. So we developed a slogan at the time that is still used around. It says tacos are for good eating and tacos are for good heating.
Oh. I like that. I like that.
You guys
lot.
Should bring that back.
Yeah, you should.
But we are using it. We are still marketing that.
And you know the guy who came up with that idea is still alive.
Is that you?
Well, if he's dead, then he can't debate it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly.
Since we're talking shit, well, ask him about the color green.
So why green?
Yeah, tacos aren't green, John.
Seriously? So this happens every time we have a group of, you know,
of
customers in for training and whatnot at the place. You know. By the way, I do have one strong belief about this company and every single thing I've done since I've been there, because I am no businessman. I never went to business school. All I know is people.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I've always believed that if we're going to be there for all this time together every day, every week, every month, every year, then let's have fun and let's like each other.
Yeah.
And so I've always believed that whatever we do has to accomplish three things. It has to be different, at least to some extent.
Yeah.
It has to be fun, because otherwise I'm not interested.
Yeah.
And I don't always live up to that. Sometimes things are boring and stuff, but you have to. But the third thing is the most important, and that is that, plain and simple, it has to piss somebody off. Because if it doesn't, then it hasn't drawn the effect it should.
I know all about that.
Right? Yeah. I bet you do.
That's how you make your mark.
It's true, and it's funny you say that, because, like, getting into the next question that I was going to ask you, like, how did you come up to have those three things? Like, because for me as a business owner, as experience, I make up these core values and all these things that I have because of experiences that I've experienced. But as for you talking about those things of whether you piss somebody off and the other two things of having fun, how did you come to develop these things to know that those are the things that you wanted Taco to envelop?
I'm not exactly sure, but I would answer it this way.
Yeah. Right.
One is on the being different thing.
Always.
Okay, sorry.
Innovation, man.
I was born a little weird, I guess. But
back to curly hair.
On the having fun, I think my mother taught me that. She just was a wonderful human being. She was an angel. And I think everything in her life was positive. You know? And I think that came from her. And the pissing people off thing, I just have a way
came
of
from
doing,
your dad.
Doing that. Might as well use it in my business. I don't know. But you know, I one time got sued by a competitor. True story. Copied one of his products and they sued us. And this is in the early 2000s. And I knew the president of the company very well, as I always have, right? And a very good friend. And so I went to go out for lunch about a week after we introduced this product line. And I was walking through the lobby, and here's this big, huge, very tall man with a big hat on his head with a star on his chest with a big gun on his side. And it says, Sheriff. So I was walking, he said, I'm looking for John Hazen White Jr. And I said, I can find him if it's important. What do you need him for? He said, I've got something to deliver to him. I said, I'll give it to him. He said, okay. So he left, and I went upstairs, and I opened this envelope, and it was a lawsuit from my competitor. And so I was standing there reading through this thing, and about 3 minutes later, my phone rang, and it was my competitor. It was the president. He was a very good friend of mine. He started laughing. He said, have you seen anybody interesting today? I said, yeah, I just saw the sheriff. Thank you very much. And he said, so you've accomplished your goal. I said, what's that? He said, you pissed me off.
Awesome.
Check.
All right, let's get some stuff from Miller, Mike Miller over there. Yep. With your extensive experience in the Canadian HVAC sector, how have Taco's innovations, such as the 00015 pump, been received, and what impact do you have on Taco's market presence?
Well, great question. So
get a little closer.
Okay, so great question. So, of course, we always try to innovate products and keep moving a needle forward and try to produce something better that not only pisses other people off, but also makes other people's lives easier.
Yes.
As well at the same time.
So he makes the fires and you put them out? Is that what it is?
We had a guy like that. We called it arsonist with a fire extinguisher. Yeah.
So the 0015, for example, so one of the, Johnny, you didn't touch on that actually when you talked about the products that you first created and innovated. The Vet Rotor Circulator was one of those products, right? And one of the things that made Taco famous in the Canadian market anyway was the 007 when it came north.
Way before the E-Series came
way
out.
Way before the E-Series came
out. Right.
And, of course, over time, the market developed into a three-speed market, which took us a little bit of time to develop. But in Canada, we took the stance that we wanted to take it right away to the next level, and we introduced the 015E3 into the Canadian market. So that is our flagship residential circulator that is really re-established us in the circulator business. Like, this is the product that's given us a strong market presence, and over the last few years and continues to grow. It's something we want to build up on, and we have since. We've got one of the largest
we believe
ECM
that.
Product
We've used so many, and we've never gone back for one, far from what I know.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's a good problem.
It's a good problem. Yeah.
Okay, it's a good problem.
So, aside from the product itself, we know that Taco has been doing a lot of initiatives to support the trade. Mm-hmm. Whereas you came up with that hashtag, Taco supports trades.
Yep.
So, what are the kind of things that Taco has been doing to support the trades?
Well, we can't give enough credit to the value of our training team, and that's good for the residential guys. Most everybody knows, at least on the social media platforms, with John Barber, Dave Holdorf, Rick
Mayo.
We
love them.
These guys are incredible.
Yep.
But we also have a very strong commercial training team, with Rich Medeiros and Brett Zerba, and essentially every one of our field regional sales managers, to an extent as well, are the local champions on the training. So training is a big piece for us. We want to not only create good products, but we also want to provide solutions that help in everybody's life, in contractors. We want to be able to understand the applications and then provide solutions for them and then educate it.
Even during COVID, these guys trained 60,000 people online. 60,000 people. Yeah. They came up. They said, what are we going to do? We can't be in person. We can't have these good big classes. So hence the Taco Tuesdays and the Taco After Dark and Monday to Learn. They just hugely rolled out, man. They never quit.
No.
They never quit.
And you have those negative comments that come up sometimes online too, and you guys answer them so well. So well. It's really good. Dave does a wonderful job on Monday nights, and we always join in. So.
Well, there's always somebody that listened to Johnny's previous podcast and says, well, let's see, how can we piss somebody off today? But, fair enough. Some of the other things we're doing, we try and go out of our way to partner with trade schools. We want to help train their trainers, but also provide product samples for demonstration purposes. We're very active in that. We're also trying to get involved in industry associations, right? So we want to be at the forefront of emerging trends and challenges, perhaps, and then we want to be part of the solution finding.
Yeah.
We want to be more, Johnny, correct me if I'm wrong, but we want to be more than just a product or equipment manufacturer. We want to be...
Different.
We want to be a community. We want to be part of it. We want to be approachable. We want to be the guys that people want to work with, because we're not just products. We're also fun to be with, and we're part of your solutions.
Yeah.
Last night's event was just one example. When Mike brings us all up here for the Habitat for Humanity event last night, just amazing. And you're talking about a room full of HVAC people that really care, and they're there doing what they do, taking care of others that can't.
I've always believed that, again, back to what I said, we come to work every day. We're together most of our lives, or a third of our lives. So we're a community. We are a community in that building and within our own organization. So I think it's as important for us to make good products as I think it's as important for us to be a part of a community and help it sustain itself wherever we're at. And however we can. Can't do it for the whole world, but I can do it in Cranston, Rhode Island. I can do it in Sendrigo, Italy. I can do it in Saigon. I can do it in, in different places where we're located. But I feel vitally important to uphold and support any community in which we are taking part. Because that community, I will guarantee, is giving back to us every day.
Yeah.
100%. And we've done some of those work. We've had the sponsorships, and Taco has always come in for that when we've done our boiler builds, and we're very happy because a lot of the boards that we did complete has gone back to different types of school within BC, we're having the same one that we're doing in Vaughan in September, and those are going to be going to schools as well.
Around here, I
think the initiative has been great. But
thank you guys. By the way, I do want to speak up on that. It's a tremendous program you guys ran, and when we first found out about it, for sure we wanted to be a part of that. Absolutely, I think there's great value in that, and not only are you showcasing the product, you're also showing and teaching others how to apply it.
Yeah,
excellently well done. Really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Key, absolutely key. No, we just actually, if you didn't catch that, we had a grand opening in our new operation down in Lubbock, Texas. And we walked in there, same exact thing. We're talking with their Economic Development Council, their Chamber of Commerce with their businesses, the schools. They all came to the grand opening. They were all there with us, the mayor. I mean, it's just... it's part of being a good company and taking care of your people is being part of the community.
It's nice to see, because for us, we know that, what is the map? Every 7 plumbers leaving or HVAC guys leaving, there's only one to replace.
Wow.
And we have to start from the bottom again, yeah. Where we have
and
to...
And skills trades where it's at.
Yeah. Yeah,
and to be honest, the mechanical trade, like the brotherhood and everybody coming together and helping each other out, there's no competition here. Everybody here wants to help each other out. And Instagram, really? Social media makes things easy for that. And you're able to reach out to people from Texas. You're able to reach out to people from Europe and get learn from them, right? And so coming together, and that's there's no other industry like it.
Same example. Like how I knew Adam was strictly through
Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, if I didn't have a platform like that, none of us would have been able to have a podcast or do any of this sort of work that we want to do today.
Yeah. So I got
to
say
I took the opportunity to put the two of you together on that Germany trip and enjoying soup together with Johnny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, too, that in Taco's driving force, we have, I would like to know the exact number, but I don't, but we have representatives all over the country and Canada and U.S. And these guys, I mean, so when you talk about just our communities, it's every community out there. I mean, they're everywhere. Tim looks at them as part of his sales force, and they're out there helping. I mean, Katrina, hospital goes down. They're jumping through hoops, trying to figure out what we got to do. This one, it doesn't matter where we're at.
Yes. It's great. It's great to see that. And leading to the next question about like the initiatives that you guys have been doing to support trades, we know that the market is slowly changing or quickly changing in a way. How it's going from hydronic heating all the way to the heat pump side. So with that side coming in, how do you guys position yourself and see what you guys have in the future of supporting those kind of initiatives and how you can put more support towards that heat pump side of things when Taco was more about circulating and hydronics?
Very good question. So I don't know if you had a chance to catch this morning's. We had a panel discussion together with the Canadian Hydronics Council, which is part of the Canadian Institute of Plumbing and Heating. We try to be involved and right at the forefront of changing technology, changing times, when challenges arise. Talking about this electrification, this is certainly something that's coming at us, probably at a much faster pace than most of us have expected, number one, or are even prepared to deal with it. So we invest in our people, to make sure that they understand how those systems function, what are the challenges that are coming, and then we're trying to find a solution to try to bridge the gap. Sometimes things change too fast, and we can't always control it, but we can do the best we can to try and come up with a solution for it. So we want to... The involvement part is really the biggest piece. Again, we don't want to just be a product manufacturer. We want to be understanding what's happening and transpiring in our markets and industries, and how can we be a part of the solution.
That's great. That is great. Mike, from a sales and market perspective in Canada, how is the reception been for the 0015E pump and the Bluetooth accessible control board? And what feedback are you hearing from a field about its performance and impact?
Oh, excellent. So, the feedback's been tremendous. I mean, I mentioned it earlier briefly, the 0015E has become our flagship small-size mid-rotor ECM circulator that's essentially replaced what put us on the map originally with the 007 in the Canadian space. The 0018, when it was launched again, that's first to market ECM circulator that had Bluetooth connectivity in the North American space. The product's been very well accepted. Before when you were controlling circulators with a little dial, which you still can today, and still very, very common, very popular. But now, if you need something that's a little bit more precise, we have the 0018. You can connect to it via Bluetooth and then use an app to dial in the exact flow rate that you need. I mean, it doesn't get any better in terms of dialing in the efficiency.
That's good.
And that's where the whole world's going, guys. I mean, you accept it or not, but everybody's got everything on their phone, right? Connectivity of talk to Alexa or Siri and turn, it's my heat pump, checking on the water.
Everything is going
digital. Everything. Being able to do that is mandatory. I think we're somewhere around 9-10 software engineers on staff now. So, if you're innovative, you've got to have part of it.
Yeah, no.
Love it. Love it and love the products. Question I've been itching very long to ask. It's always been in the back of my mind because I'm more into that business aspect of things. And I really want to know on a manufacturer's standpoint, more so for you, John, is when Taco first came out and you're making these sort of pumps, how does the process work? Like, did you get certain feedback from contractors saying they need something for these pumps? And how did you get these solutions for these contractors to go from a manufacturer to get the creation?
So every element of the business, as you know, Terrence, just think it through. Every element of your business has a different perspective. So on the residential circulators, the 00s, we had another one, the old 110 pumps. Those are like the old B&G 100 series, that kind of very good product, but, my dad knew a lot of people in Europe back in the 50s and the 40s, and there became a guy who developed the wet rotor pump for the nuclear business, but he found a way to make a small one.
Wow.
And he licensed that motor to one company per country. So there was Velo in Germany, Samson in France. There was a company called Perfecta in Denmark, I think, and Taco, and all over the place. But then Taco was the U.S. And that's how we got in the wet rotor business. The U.S. happened to be the one market that it didn't work in, so it almost bankrupted the company because we were bringing back as many as we were shipping out, literally, seriously. And instead of refunding for those, we fixed them and sent them back out, and they failed again and came back. And this went on for a number of years. We then invented the hollow shaft, which is what saved the whole wet rotor circular business, and now that's universal around the world. Everybody, one or two people use that. That's one reason. Commercial pumps we got into because we decided it was time to step up into the commercial pump business. We didn't want to be the little pump guy forever, right? So back in the 70s, 80s, we got into the commercial. So everything happens for different reasons, and they all have histories. And some of it is driven by that. So on the commercial pump business, our customers wanted more from us. So we elevated the sizes of the pumps and so
when it comes back, like, how long does it take for you to make those certain changes?
So this is a great question, and probably I was thinking about this for a long time before you asked it, because my dad had a great expression. I was thinking about this when you were talking about social media and the speed of which we go about things. Unfortunately, social media and everything about this technology era has forced speed into the mix as opposed to necessarily thoughtful quality decisions. My dad always had a great decision about product development. It was slow as fast. Because the slower you go, the more pragmatic you are, the more thorough you are, the less you're going to fail and have to start again.
Yeah.
And he was always right about that. So it takes a long time to do something right. And it's too expensive not to. So we take our time, and throughout the whole world in terms of what we make and where we make it and where we develop it, we take our time because it can take anywhere from a year to 5 years to get a product in the market.
But we're now also doing very, as we talk more structure and how we go about things, we have a Tim and his team, Tim Davis. Manages rep councils, and we bring these guys in from all over, everywhere. Your international guys, Mexico, all the way across, and literally get voice of customer. What is it that we're missing? What's our portfolio? Where's our drawback? Which one's not working where? And and have now put it into a system, all of those ideas, and there's lots of them, and then we have a very strategic evaluation process on how to go about and pick and what's going to be next and what's going to be next. So as we work through our five-year plan, we have a five-year product growth plan as well as to, for every product category, what needs to be upgraded, what needs to the next new features, and there's a list of all that innovation that's going on out there.
And I think,
of course, I don't want to have to kill you if
I tell you.
Yeah, well,
that's really interesting because a lot of people just see a product at the end of the day. They don't see the work that makes
tremendous.
The product to make it almost perfect and seamless so that you don't have the callbacks that you have. Because even for us, as you say, if you go too quickly and you have a product coming back out, as a contractor of us putting it in, as soon as we have a problem, we have a callback, we think that we don't want to use the product anymore.
Of course.
Well, a big part of that, though, yeah. I want to add that what helps us tremendously also is actually you guys that install the product every day, right? Through the interface, through our training team, the interface of our sales and marketing team, through our rep network that Cheryl just spoke about that are part of the rep council. We take your comments serious, or the comments we get back from the people installing it serious, and we always bring that back to product management. So, you know, when you see new products develop, I mean, here at the show, we're showcasing a brand new zone control that we're launching in the next few months. I mean, a lot of the developments in there came together from the feedback we received from installers. Again, we're trying to continually innovate by making things easier.
So the newest thing that we've just started is this contract rewards program. I'm giving a plug here. I've been given certain instructions on what out. But if you sign up for this customer rewards program, it is an avenue not only for us to help you with what you need, giving you a direct link to us. But there's a huge amount of rewards. I think there's everything all the way to trips and everything else given away. But the real, for us, it's incredibly valuable because of the data we get, the information we get on how products are working or what is needed out there. So, hey, everybody can hear me. Sign up for a contract reward program with Taco.
I'm going to have a post coming up later today on it, too. So,
let's do it.
And I believe I have a code myself. So.
Do we do those podcasts where we say, look in that camera, look in that camera, look in that camera, and tell the people about the contract or awards?
Yeah, everybody, spread the word. Spread the word.
So
that was for you, Beth.
Taco is renowned for their family culture. How do each of you contribute to that and in the environment, in your roles?
Everything we do.
Yeah.
It's everything we do. So the events, every summer we're having the family outing day. I mean, it's kids, it's bubble machines, it's games and all of those kind of things. And then you get to Christmas and we open up the plant and rope things off. But bring your family. Come in and show off where you work because we want to be part of your dinner conversation. You know,
yeah.
We want the kids asking, "Hey, would you do this or that?" So, and then of course there's the arts and crafts and hot chocolate and all those kind of wonderful things. But constant events, service awards, recognizing people, and being out on the floor. If you ever want to go, if you ever get to tour Taco, do it with this guy here beside me, because he knows every employee, all their children, their family dog's name, and I mean it is truly a family out there, and it's a great place to be.
I believe that you guys are renowned for all the parties every year for AHR.
We know how to throw a party.
You know,
Mr. White likes the party.
I'm not too much of good at anything, but throwing a party, all right, I can do that.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that in terms of that family culture, it comes down to this. You know, everybody I know will talk the talk.
Yeah.
But not many actually walk the walk. That makes any sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
You gotta tell them the story about summer camp, Johnny, that's starting back up.
Yeah, we had for 25 years, we had, and just demographics or whatever you call it, we had summer camps for our kids from 6 to 17 years old. And at first, we had them all in the same summer camp, and that 6-year-olds and 17-year-olds. with nap times and everything else, it doesn't all melt together well. So we came up with two summer camps, and so we had two art and music camps for 6 to 11, and then 11 to 17, we had two oceanography camps, run by Bob Ballard, by the way, down at University of Rhode Island. He's the guy that found the Titanic. You know, he's a very interesting guy, good friend. And so we had these summer camps, and they were just magical because the kids learned art, they learned music together, and then they learned about the, you know, the ocean. But we did that for many, many years, and just things like that have really mattered because it's drawn people. See, back to the community. It's not just us as a community, but it's them.
Yeah.
Yep.
So to drag them into to be a part of us, I can't ask for more. And I can only tell you this, as I said before, I'm not really a business-minded guy. I get business a little bit. I can flounder through it. But the one thing about Teyco that I love totally are the people. I just love those people because for a lot of reasons, but not the least of which, probably the most important, one of the most, well, first of all, I love people. But second of all, every bit of success that I've had in my life has been because those people gave me the chance.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure when I started down this path at this level, there was a lot of people that said, that isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
But it did happen. And it happened with them.
With them.
So it's about that. Now you talk about a family culture. It's you know how sometimes you do say, that's my sister or my brother or my uncle or my aunt. I don't like them.
Yeah.
But I love them.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you know.
I mean, I get it. It's hard not to love Mike Miller.
He's on the list.
Oh, he's right
there. He's on
there.
The list.
He's
yeah.
right there with
yeah.
me.
He's on the list.
Yeah.
It's really an amazing thing to see. But, you know, a couple of points to that. One, nobody can run a company from a corner office.
No.
It's that those people out there, it's understanding, it's being with them. And number two, it's about respect. Everybody, it doesn't matter if you're cleaning the restrooms or sitting in an office somewhere, it's mutual respect, and it and they know it. They know that the guy doing the job is the one that knows that job the best, and we know it. So and they know we know it. So and they don't have any hesitation to talk to you, call you, hey, you know this really isn't working right. And they, you know, together we're continuously improving, and making things better.
Yeah. I really like that.
Like Johnny says, you know, lots of people talk to talk but fail to walk to walk. I mean, you know, this whole family environment and atmosphere, I mean, you know, every time you hear Johnny talk, he'll always mention the people that work for him, right? It's the leadership from the top down that kind of shows the example, and everybody coming in, and I've been fortunate to have been part of this family for 10 years now as of this month. It's contagious. If you don't have that coming in,
you won't survive. Not at Teyco.
It's one of two ways. It's either you like completely don't know what to do with it, or you adapt it because automatically. It's like I say. I really feel it's a contagious thing. It makes you want to be that way.
Yeah.
And you know, it's really embodied by every employee in the company. And like I said before, you know. It's one team, one dream is another saying we have occasionally. Yeah. You know,
every employee receives a birthday card from Johnny Hazelwhite every year.
Handwritten.
Every year.
Yep.
And Winston, probably. Yep. But and I've graduated. I send an email.
Yeah.
I here's your quick email. Happy birthday. I was thinking about you today, or happy anniversary. But to sit down and sign a stack of birthday cards with notes in them to everybody in the company, and they know it. They know we care.
How do I get on that birthday
list? Can I expect one at the Teyco?
I need on that birthday list.
On June 29th?
Please.
He can't handle any more cards. He's like, stop hurrying.
Christina, write down the birth date. June 29th.
Can I just call you?
May 13th, please.
Can I just call you?
Yeah, you can. Yes. Oh, I would love. Honestly, I would love it. When I came up to you at HR in Chicago, and I and you were like, Adam, and you recognized me, I went up to Mike, and I was like, he remembered me. It's like, oh my God, he remembered me. Yeah, no,
And if you go around, everybody's is his friend.
This one's been
a friend for 10 years, 5 years, or it's the homeless gentleman that every time he's in town, he goes out
it's
there in that same corner and talks to that gentleman.
Just like we were at Ish, we talk about it all the time, where one of our guys, Nampol, posted a photo today on his story talking about how we shared soup.
Yeah, Johnny soup White. Bros. Now it's soup bros because we all shared soup. Johnny, if nobody knows the story, there was someone walking by with soup, and Johnny was like, that looks delicious.
Castle. It was at the castle.
Yeah, the castle.
Poor bastard was trying to bring it to a
table.
Catered dinner.
And he took it off the dinner and gave it to Johnny. I'm standing next to Johnny.
Who shared it with everybody.
He takes a sip of it, and then he looks at me and goes, you want to try some? And I'm like, okay, sure, let's go. And we all tried soup together.
Five or six of us.
That's up there with
soup.
Breaking bread.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Mind you, this was just when COVID...
Just ended.
And shortly after, when we went back home from Germany, we all got COVID.
Yeah.
We're not saying it came from
not
Johnny.
Not from him, but...
Not from you.
No, it was a fantastic trip. I loved it.
It was great.
So we kind of want to slowly end things off and ask a couple of questions, knowing that, you know, you had your products on the Teyco 0015E and your newest product on your Bluetooth accessible control. But what are some things down the pipeline that you guys were also looking into creating that you guys can share with the rest of the audience?
Yeah, I was just going to say, didn't we discuss the whole not being able to share all those things?
Yeah, there's some things that are in the immediate future, and some of those are already on display.
Yeah.
There are some that are...
Come by our booth.
A little bit... Yeah, please do.
Come see our booth.
What's the booth number?
715?
715. Yeah. Come see us. See all the new stuff going on.
Yeah. Yeah. But rest assured, we're cooking up new things.
I'm sure you are.
Making this place a better world to live in. And yeah.
Would you brief me something?
Would I what?
Brief me, I said sometime. I'm just sort of curious.
Yeah.
He's being... funny.
Yeah.
This is John having fun. He knows. He everybody knows. Tells everybody.
Not really
everybody
joking.
Tells everybody.
Hello.
What are we doing now?
So I moved to Florida, right?
Yeah.
You know that old expression, out of sight, out of mind?
Yeah.
Get rid of the old man and we'll just have a blast up here by ourselves.
So
it brings
like,
all them in. They're having a blast.
You can't get away that easy, you know it. He just said the other day, he was just in Rhode Island for the last week, and then he's here with the team.
Yeah.
You turn around, he's going to go to Europe and meet with that team. We're over there on the 1st of April. We're talking about how we're going to handle the July summer social for our Italian company, and you know that's in. So yeah, he's just like I said, being funny.
Yeah.
I was joking. We get that. Although we did just hire an executive that I never interviewed. I don't know how that happens, but anyway,
his name Adam Gordon.
That was a check I sent seriously.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Thank you so much, Teyco and the team, Mike, Cheryl, and John for coming on Strictly Talking Shit. It's been a pleasure to
invitation
have
invitation to
all
talk
of
shit. I love
By the way,
it. Thank
it,
you.
It's Johnny. I got told.
Terrence.
I said John, and Dave was like, "No, who's John?"
Well,
Johnny
isn't it John? John White Hazen.
Everybody
John
calls
White,
him
Hazen.
Johnny, right?
Johnny.
It's Johnny.
Johnny.
It's short.
Yes.
And Terrence.
Thank you very much.
It's
Thank
really
you.
A
pleasure,
thank you guys.
Pleasure being
thank
here
you
with you guys,
us.
Man.
If you guys want to find Teyco, find Teyco at Teyco Comfort, I believe is the handle, and find them at booth 715 to see what's going on.
Contractor Thanks. Rewards.
Awesome. Thank you all.
Contractor
Bye,
rewards.
All.